Sermon 24. You are the body of Christ and each part of the members. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Beloved saints, today through the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we will deeply examine the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the essence of the church, and the meaning of a one-body community from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This word does not simply explain the types of gifts, but clearly shows how the Holy Spirit works and forms the church within those who believe in the gospel. Paul first says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." The Corinthian church had much interest in spiritual things, that is, gifts, but they did not know their essence accurately. They were using gifts to reveal themselves, to compare with one another, and to divide superiority and inferiority. Beloved, if you do not know the gospel accurately, gifts are also distorted. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given by God, but if the center of the person using them does not stand upon the gospel, the gifts can rather become tools of pride and division. Therefore, Paul first presents the standard. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This word makes clear what the standard of gifts is. The work of the Holy Spirit necessarily appears in the direction of revealing Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is not a simple name, but the one who saved us. By receiving baptism from John, Jesus shouldered all our sins, and with those sins, he was judged on the cross, and he completed salvation by his resurrection. Testifying to this gospel is exactly the work of the Holy Spirit. In the following words, Paul says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Here we see a very important principle. The outwardly appearing gifts are diverse, but their source is one. That is, all gifts come from God, and their purpose is also one. It is to build the church and reveal the gospel. Paul speaks of various gifts such as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and tongues. However, the important thing is not the type of gift, but where that gift comes from, and for what it is used. A person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit has a clear standard in this area. He does not exalt himself through gifts. Rather, he makes sure that the gift is used to reveal the gospel and to build up others. So Paul continues and says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Gifts are not for personal glory, but for the profit of the community." Now Paul compares the church to a body. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. This is a very important metaphor. The church is one body, and we are each members of that body. Just as the hand, foot, eye, and ear have different roles, the saints also each have different gifts. However, the purpose is one. It is to form the body. Beloved saints, if you do not know the gospel, you cannot understand this structure. So people try to compare with each other, compete and reveal themselves more. But a person who knows the gospel of the water and the Spirit is different. He rejoices in serving God and building up other members through his role, because his value of existence has already been completely confirmed within the gospel. He no longer needs to prove himself, because the fact that Jesus shouldered his sins and completed salvation has completely established his identity. So Paul says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' There is no unnecessary person in the church. All members need one another." Also, Paul says, "Those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." This is the exact opposite of the world's standard. The world considers what is strong and conspicuous as important, but God considers even the unseen parts as precious. Finally, Paul says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually." This is our identity. We are not simple individuals, but beings that form the body of Christ. And the reason God appointed various offices in the church, such as apostles, prophets, and teachers, is also to build up that body. Beloved saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks to us clearly. The center of gifts is not man, but the gospel. And the center of the church is also not man, but Jesus Christ. Is your faith perhaps lingering on gifts or roles? Are you focusing on what can I do? If so, you must return. Through the baptism he received from John, Jesus already shouldered all the sins of you and me, completely resolved those sins on the cross, and completed salvation through resurrection from death. The Holy Spirit dwells in those who believe in this gospel, and that Holy Spirit gives gifts to each person to build the church. Now we must live for the preaching of this gospel. We must not boast of gifts, but live a life of building up others through gifts. We must not compare with one another, but serve God together as one body. I hope this gospel becomes your center. Therefore, I bless you in the name of the Lord, that you become one in the Holy Spirit, and live a life of building up the church in your respective places.